Sunday morning, right? We're starting to get a little bit colder. My name is Dominic Raffa. I'm the pastoral resident here, which means I'm the intern that leads our youth ministry, our young adult ministry. We have a fantastic time with that. I love being a part of the staff. I love being a part of this church body. You guys know what we did last weekend? 7 baptisms. Come on, let's give it up for that. 7 baptisms. Super encouraging, a great time. So this is just going to be a great Sunday. We're going through an awesome sermon series called Kingdom Prayer. I don't know about you guys, I have been enjoying it and loving it. And we're going to have an interactive time this Sunday. This is based off of Shift by Louis Giglio's sermon series, so it's been an honor to be able to just walk through that as a church body together. So you guys ready for this Sunday? Can I get a yes, Dom? We are ready. Oh, man, I love that energy. I think I'm going to start taking notes, like 9 a.m., they did this good. Here's a 10 for you guys and 11 a.m., and then we'll touch base next week, all right? But okay, so before we dive into the Lord's Prayer, because that's what we've been doing for Kingdom Prayer, we've been reading through the Lord's Prayer, but just to recap real quick, we had a fantastic message from Nikki talking about shifting from hallowed to hallowed, and it's kind of like hallowed to hallowed. There we go. And it's switching our prayers from like, you know, like we're standing before God Almighty when we're praying. We're standing before God Almighty, the creator of the universe. And he's inviting us into his presence. That was cool. That struck a chord with me. And then last week we had Pastor Tim talking about shifting from a mindset of, and I loved how he rhymed this. He said, like, instead of going to God and going, hey, here's what I want, bam, 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 why don't we go to him and say, here I am. You know, and it's aligning our will with God's will. And that was super cool. So I'm going to be touching on give us today our daily bread. But before we dive into that, let's go through the Lord's Prayer. And when we go through this, okay, remember, this isn't a one and done situation. It's not like, okay, I said the Lord's Prayer, we don't have to pray anymore. This isn't even like what you should pray. It's kind of like how you should pray. So let's take a look. I'm going to read this first part, then we'll read together as a church. So this then is how you should pray. So everyone all together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also, have forgiven our debtors. Great. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I'm going to be touching on give us today our daily bread. And my sermon today is called, Is Jesus Enough for You Today? You're going to hear a lot of this, okay? Is Jesus enough for you today? So let's go ahead and pray. And as we're praying, be praying for me that the Holy Spirit speaks through me. And then also that just that we have a receptive heart as a church in whole today. Let's pray. God, you're a good God. The fact that we get to just step into your presence just blows me away. The fact that you want to have a relationship with us, that you want to talk to us. So I just pray right now that the Holy Spirit just speaks through me. And that as a church body and whole, that we just have a receptive heart for what you have, that you open up our mind, our ears, our eyes, our hearts. And just be with us, Father, that we glorify you. That's not about any of us in this room, but it's about what your Son did on the cross. Thank you again for your love and your grace. And in Christ's name, amen. All right. So, before we dive into this, is Jesus enough for you today? We need to kind of understand two concepts. So, the concept of enough, first off. Enough. Now, there's a difference between more than enough and enough, right? More than enough kind of has... it's almost like a surplus, right? To where, like, you have more than enough. You don't really need anything else until it runs out, right? But it's more than enough. Now, if you guys are cooking something and you have butter and you have just enough butter to be able to get you through that meal or whatever, it creates a sense of, like, hey, I need some more butter next time. Like, you ran out of butter, and it creates a sense of dependence, almost like a little bit of trust that, hey, I have to go to the store and I have to trust that they have butter because I just had enough, but the next day I have to go and grab some more, right? So it's that just enough type of feeling. So we need to understand that we're not talking about more than enough today. Is Jesus enough for you today? Because we understand that God is more than enough. Yeah, but like, have we ever thought about the concept of Jesus being enough? Now let's talk about today, okay? Today is different from tomorrow. Am I right, church? Yeah, today is different from tomorrow. So let's take a look at Hebrews 13:8. This is what Hebrews has to say. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, we saw how he was the same yesterday. We see how he's going to be the same today. But it doesn't talk about tomorrow. Really interesting, right? I was reading this, I'm like, okay, interesting. It doesn't talk about tomorrow. And that's because not everyone is guaranteed a tomorrow. We're guaranteed forever. Can I get an amen on that one? All right. So don't be worrying about tomorrow. Don't let tomorrow steal your opportunity to see what God has for you today. So church, is Jesus enough for you today? So when I ask that question, here's what I'm going to be looking for, all right? I'm going to say, is Jesus enough for you today? And you're going to say, Jesus is enough for you today, all right? So is Jesus enough for you today, church? There we go. So God has really been preparing me for this lesson. Again, I lead our youth and I lead our young adults. And everything that I'm about to be teaching you guys, God has been preparing, because I've taught this literally to them within like the past 2 months. So it's been really cool. So for instance, we're going through the series called Through the Wilderness. And this is talking about the Israelites' slavery and captivity in Egypt and how God is delivering them to the promised land, okay? God displayed his glory, his power, his might, all in Egypt, and it was awesome. And then the Egyptians let him go, and then they get to the Red Sea, and we're going to touch on this story here in a little bit. They get to the Red Sea, and God splits the Red Sea open. The Israelites go through. The Egyptians try going through, and boom, it closes down on them. Egyptians dead. God is glorified. And now they're in the wilderness, okay? 15 days later, in the wilderness, they kind of like forget that God is an awesome, almighty God, and they start to grumble and complain. Now, here's a classic phrase that they say. It would have been better to die in Egypt than to die out here in the wilderness. It would have been better, you know, at least we had meat and at least we had bread. So God is very patient with his people, the Israelites. And this is what he says. He hears that they're grumbling and complaining about God. And again, this is the God that split the Red Sea. He's done all these plagues and miracles in Egypt. And they're worrying about bread. But this is what God says. He's very patient with his people. In Exodus 16:4, says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." So we see this, and God is very gracious. Again, he's like, I'm going to give them daily bread. Dom, that was in the prayer. I know, hold up, it gets cooler, all right? So we see some daily bread here. God's providing that for them. So the next day, Israelites walk out of their tents, and they're like, oh man, what is this? It's like a snowy, flaky-like texture on the ground. And Moses is like, this is the bread. This is the daily bread. So they call it manna, which means what is it? But it comes with a set of instructions. Let's take a look at Exodus 16 still, and then it says, this is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer, which is around 2 quarts, okay? Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Okay. God provided manna. They were supposed to take 2 quarts for each person in their tent. So they would grab it, and they would stuff in it. They had a little bit too much, okay, it was still just enough. If they had a little bit too little, it was just enough. It was perfect, okay? Now, some people did not trust God that in that he would provide the next day. So they gathered up some manna, put it in a jar, and they kept it for the next morning. Again, saying that they don't really trust that God's going to provide, even though he literally just provided right there. Well, the next morning, if you know the story, they woke up, and it was manifested, it was stinky, it was not good to eat, all right? God was kind of placing them in a point to where they had to depend on God for provision. God was providing for them daily bread. Now, I'm about to drop a bomb on you, because when I was in youth group, and I was going through this, I was like, holy smokes, check this out. John 6, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says something very interesting. He says, very truly I tell you, which is basically saying, New Hope Church, listen up, all right? Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. Dom, are you seeing this? I'm seeing it, all right? He's talking about the story in the wilderness, how the Israelites were provided manna. So he's like, hey, you guys know, like, you ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Bombshell, all right? Jesus is the bread of life. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is the bread of life. I don't think you guys told your neighbor. Go ahead and tell your neighbor again, Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus says he's a better daily bread. He's a bread that provides eternal life, and we should be feeding off of him every day. But what does that mean, though? What does it mean that Jesus is the bread of life that offers eternal life? And what does that mean for today? What does it mean to feed off of Jesus? What does it mean that Jesus is enough for today? So Louis uses fantastic illustration of a lunchbox. And our teaching team, we amped it up a little bit because it was so good. And there's two lunchboxes. This is the cooler one, Star Wars. Actually, I'll give you a breakdown. All right, there's two things you need to know about me. Number one, I love Jesus Christ, okay? Love him. Two, I love Star Wars, all right? Star Wars, all the movies, the side stories, the TV shows. I'll even watch Star Wars fan theory on YouTube, still trying to decide if Jar Jar Binks is a Sith Lord or not. I can't get past it. But listen, Star Wars, love it to death, all right? Now there's Curious George. Curious George is cool. An adjective to describe Curious George would be very curious. I was talking with Sam Spence in our teaching team, and he said that Curious George is cooler than Star Wars. I'm calling you out, Spence. I love you, Spence, but it's cool, though. It's cool. We really enjoyed Curious George, but Star Wars, we know for a fact, is cool. Now, we're looking at these, and I want you guys, I'm going to use lifebox and lunchbox kind of in the same way, because we all take a lunchbox or a lifebox into our day. We're all carrying something in this. Now, I'm Italian, okay? I'm always, always thinking about food. Before I got up on here, I wasn't thinking about, man, I'm kind of nervous. I was thinking about meatball sub sounds really good right now, okay? So I'm always thinking about food, but whenever I had the lunchbox at school, I wasn't thinking about anything else. I was not. I would, you know, math class was cool and all, but what was in the lunchbox, all right? Now, there's a difference between what I pack in my lunchbox and what my mother would pack in my lunchbox, okay? Complete difference. I pack what I want. She packs what I need. And I'm 22, and I still think my mom packs the best lunches. But sadly, I have to pack my own, so it's not really that great. This is what we're going to call my lunchbox, okay? Because it's not as cool. It's a Curious George. And this is the one that I'd grab off the shelf, and I would go, okay? Let's talk about this one. This is what's in my lunchbox or in my life box that I carry throughout the day. You guys following me? Which one do you guys think is the better lunchbox, Star Wars or Curious George? Shout it out. Man, Spence, you are in trouble, man. All right. So here's what I carry in my lunchbox. Twinkie. Oh, come on now. This Twinkie, I love Twinkies so much. Favorite treat whatsoever. I would honestly not chew this. I would just let it slide down my esophagus. Come on now. This thing is great. But you know what this represents coming into the day? This represents a lot of fear that I take into the day. I pack this in my lunchbox, and I just bring a lot of fear into my day. You guys know this bad boy? The Ding Dong? People call me a ding-dong. I don't know if it's because I look tasty or if it's because it's an insult. I'm leaning towards the insult part, all right? But with this ding-dong, it's really good, right? You know what this represents in my day? I carry this throughout the day, and it represents a lot of anxiety and worry that I pack into my lunchbox. Nutty bar? Come on now. I used to trade this at lunch, and I would get a main entree off of someone that brought their lunch. So pretty good trade, right? And it's still good. Apparently, it's better frozen. Shout out to Pastor Jim for that one. But with this, amen on that. Getting Baptist up in here. All right. So with this nutty bar, you know what this represents, though, carrying into the day? Sense of hopelessness. Being hopeless throughout the day. And last thing in here, strawberry shortcake roll. Literally ate 6 of these last night because I had to. I only needed one for the illustration. But with this, this represents being tired and drained. And this is what I pack in my lunchbox. And you know what? It's not good for me, right? But it tastes good. And you know what? We're used to it. You're saying, Dom, why would you pack all that stuff? Well, it's a lot of fear. It's a lot of anxiety. I don't know. But I'm just used to it. I see it there. I'm like, oh, this is what I've been carrying all the time. It's really good for me. Not. It tastes good. How many of you guys are, and you don't have to hold up your hands, but how many of you guys are carrying this around? How many guys are carrying around like loss of a child, a broken relationship, fear of the future, a lot of anxiety? I'm going to put this away for a second. Now, here's what a loving parent packs right here. This is the Star Wars lunchbox, the favorite lunchbox of mine. And in our prayer, as we've been saying, it's our Father in heaven. And our Father is a loving Father. He's a good, good Father. He's a loving Father, and he provides what we need, and it's better for us. So you guys want to see what's in this one? Give me a yes, Dom, if you want to see what's in it. So the first thing in this lunchbox, a love letter. All right? Now, this might be from your mom or from your crush. We're going to pretend it's from a mother or father. And with that parent, they want you to start off the day knowing that you are loved, that you are accepted, that you are valued. And some of you guys might have, like, you know, pulled this out and kind of, like, hid it under the lunchbox. You didn't want anyone to see. Maybe some of you guys used it as a napkin and tossed it. Maybe some of you guys read it out loud. Oh, thanks, Mom. And you guys probably had no one at your table because you're a bunch of nerds, all right? No, just kidding. But we all love the love letter, right? Well, guys, here's the first point. And here's what I need you guys to write down. Jesus Christ's love is enough for us today. Jesus Christ's love is enough for us today. After you write that down, tell your neighbor that Jesus Christ's love is enough for us today. God sets us off into the day with letting us Christians know how loved we are. After the Red Sea incident, after the Israelites crossed through and God defeated their enemies, the Egyptians, and it was awesome, right? And God has been faithful and he's shown his power. Right after that, the Israelites and Moses are singing this song, and there's a verse in here that says, "With your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. In your might, you guide them to your sacred home." So with your unfailing love, for those of you that don't understand what unfailing love is, it's a love that never fails. It's consistent. It's going to be constant. It is an unfailing love on someone. Then we have the word redeemed, and I love that word redeemed. We all love a good love story, right? To where, like, that princess, she's mad at the prince, and she goes off, and then she bites an apple because she won't get a kiss from him or something like that. She bites an apple. She faints. Bad guy grabs her, takes her to the tower, and then, you know, locks her in there. Then the good guy has to come. He has to fight, kill the bad guy. Then he grabs the princess, and then they ride off into the sunset, right? We all love that. It's a story full of, like, unfailing love, the princess being redeemed, all that great stuff. And that's what God has done for us with the Son. This isn't in my notes, but I want to mention this. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." We're pretty numb to that, right? We've heard it all the time. But that love right there, that's an agape love. That's an unconditional love that can't be deserved, and you can't do anything to say, "Hey, I don't want this love." And that's a love that God has for us. It's for God chose to love you when we didn't deserve it. So guys, Jesus Christ's love is enough for us today. Now, I'm going to ask the question, is Jesus enough for you today? Church, what do you say? I wasn't convinced. I don't really feel like it. Come on, give me another one. Don't let the 11 a.m. beat you. All right, you guys are doing great. Okay, actually, hold on that bad boy. All right, second thing we have in here. This is an action figure, okay? This is the Hulk, all right? I'm more of a Batman guy, DC, but the Hulk is pretty neat. This is a Lego type. And what we used to do at our lunch table is we used to bring our action figures, and we would show up, and we would put a Gushers in the middle of the table or a Chips Ahoy, and we would wager on who's going to win. I always lost because my friends threw up their shields at the last second, okay? I don't know how that happened. But with the action figure, this represents that Jesus Christ fights our battles today. Go ahead and write that down. Jesus Christ fights our battles today. As I mentioned, the story of the Red Sea, the Egyptians are chasing the Israelites. So the Israelites were released. Pharaoh let them go, but then Pharaoh had his heart hardened, and he's starting to come after the Israelites. We had the Israelites in the middle. We had the Egyptians on this side, and we had the Red Sea over here. And it's not looking good. God brought the Israelites to the Red Sea on purpose because he's about to display his glory, his might, his power. It's going to be awesome. But the Israelites have no idea what's going on. So the Israelites are scared, and they're in the middle. The classic phrase of, "God brought us out here to die. We would have rather have died in slavery in Egypt." Again, did they not just see what God did in Egypt? That's all right. So the Egyptians come in, Israelites in the middle, Red Sea, Israelites going crazy, they're scared. And then Moses says something really neat. Let's take a look at what he says. He says in Exodus 14, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you and you need only to be..." What? They didn't have to turn around and pull out their pitchforks and start charging? Moses said, all we have to do is just watch, just wait, watch, and see what God's going to do. Again, you have to stand firm, but God's going to be doing something crazy. It says to put on the armor of God in the scriptures, and in that, you know, that's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, the helmet of salvation, and it says to charge. It actually doesn't. It says to stand your ground. I was going through the word the other day, and in 2 Chronicles 20, 15 through 17, we see this picture of King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah and Jerusalem, and all these nations are about to go to war against him. And he's like, all right, everyone, let's gather around. Congregation, let's get together. We have to start praying, and we have to start fasting. So the Spirit descends upon this guy, Jehaziel, and this is what the Spirit says through him. "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They'll be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeriel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." It says you got to show up. It says you got to take up your positions, but stand firm because the battle is not yours, but what, church? Whose? It's God's. So this is what King Jehoshaphat does. He does what's called a flex. Now, flex is to show off. He puts the musicians in front of his army, and they start singing about God and his awesome love and who he is. And as they pull up to the scene, there's a bunch of dead enemy soldiers. Because God turned the enemy soldiers against each other, and God fought the battle for them. And that's the God we serve, the one that goes before us, the one that is constantly with us, the God that fights for us. So church, Jesus Christ fights our battles today. Tell your neighbor that one. Church, is Jesus enough for you today? There we go. Third thing we have in here. The sandwich. I love the sandwich, okay? My mom makes a fantastic peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I know you're saying, Dom, it's just a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I have no idea what it is. But for some reason, whenever I'm like putting the peanut butter across, I rip the bread every time. I do. I don't know what it is. But this is a sandwich, and this is to represent that Jesus Christ provides for us today. Jesus Christ provides for us today. God promises to meet our physical needs, and he will sustain us daily. In Matthew 6, Jesus, again, God's son, he knows what's going on. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." So Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about drinking. Isn't life more than that? So I'm a city kid. I grew up in Indianapolis, if you don't know. But when I came out here to the country, which has been fun, culture shock, but when I came out here to the country, I didn't expect to see any birds sowing, reaping, harvesting, putting up away in store barns. I didn't expect to see that because God takes care of that. He takes care of the ecosystem. We have a worm going through the grass, right? Just envision that, that worm going through. And then you have a mama bird that comes through and she grabs it. Then she goes to her nest, chews it up in her mouth, and she spits it down like, caw, caw. And then they eat it. And then as they get older, they jump out of the nest and boom, a T-Rex hits them, right? So we have a God that's in charge of the ecosystem, that's above time, that's created mountains, that's created valleys. And this unlimited God that's taking care of everything else, Jesus says, aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? When he created creation, he said, they were good, but we were very good. So let me ask you a question. Did God send his son to die for the birds or for you? That's deep right there. Come on now. You know, we serve a God that's going to provide. We don't have to be like the unbelievers because they're like, man, it's all on me. I don't really know if I can do this. We serve an unlimited God. If Bill Gates came through the door right now and he said, Dom, let's go to McDonald's. I'm driving and I'm paying. I'd be like, all right, see you guys. I'd go with Bill Gates. We'd pull up, skr, skr, all the way to McDonald's. We go to the window, and Bill Gates says, Dom, you can get anything you want. Do you think for a second I'm going to be like, I don't think he has enough money? Of course not, man. I'd be like, number 13, number 14, supersize me if you guys still do that. Give me 2 large Cokes, 2 large chocolate milkshakes. I'd be going nuts. So if we can understand and comprehend Bill Gates' savings account, how can we not comprehend and understand that we serve an unlimited God that wants to provide for us? I mean, we don't have to worry. All we have to do is just seek his kingdom. You know, Jesus Christ provides for us today. Church, is Jesus enough for you today? I love it. All right, fourth thing we have in here, stuffed animal. Now, this is a porg, okay? A porg is really cute. It's in the Star Wars sequels, which really aren't that good, shout out. But it's still great. This is the cutest thing that came from it. Now, we all had, I'll actually ask you guys, we'll do this. How many of you guys had a stuffed animal that you really felt safe, secure, peace, and you like loved it and it loved you? How many of you guys had that? Wow, that is not as much as I thought there would be. How many of you guys still have it? All right, cool, there we go. Maybe sitting on some of your guys' beds still. But this is to say, put that there for you, Mr. Porg. This is to say that Jesus Christ is with us today. Jesus Christ is with us today. Go ahead and tell your neighbor. You haven't talked to your neighbor in a minute. Tell him Jesus Christ is enough with us today. I love it. Thank you guys for interacting. I love at the end of Exodus, the Israelites are finally starting to obey God, and they built this tabernacle for him, and they wanted him to dwell with them, and he and the Israelites wanted to dwell with them. God wanted to dwell with them like always. So they build this tabernacle, and God's presence is on the tabernacle. And every time that God's presence got up and went, they would get up, go. Whenever it stayed, they would stay. They just wanted to be together. They just wanted to hold each other close, like that stuffed animal, right? Provide a lot of peace, comfort, security. Well, guess what, church? We don't just get manna every day. We get Jesus Christ himself every single day. And in that itself, it's a miracle. That security, that peace, that comfort, that love. In Deuteronomy 31:8, it says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Isn't that encouraging, church? Give me a yes, Dom. I mean, come on now. I mean, he's always with us. This is the same God that we're praying to at the beginning when we say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The God Almighty, the creator of the universe, wants to be with you. Who are you? Who am I? But he wants to be with us, and he is with us. So church, Jesus Christ is with us today. And is Jesus enough for you today, church? So I'm going to put this stuff all back in here. Fifth thing. Jesus is the box. Jesus is life. He's with us throughout the day. He's offering himself. And out of him flows all this sustenance. He's given us himself every day. God Almighty. Now I'm going to be quiet for 5 seconds, and all my friends are blown away by that. I need you guys to rest in that for 5 seconds. That God Almighty is providing all this for you. Take 5 seconds. The sixth thing in this, and the last thing. I feel like Mary Poppins right now. I got all this stuff in here, pulling it out. Sixth thing is a mirror. I can open it. We have an opportunity to reflect that God is enough for us today. We have an opportunity to reflect that. And we should want to reflect that Jesus is enough for us today. And why is he doing all this? Well, it's ultimately to give glory to himself and shine a light on who he is, but he includes us in that. You know, I got all the comfort, I got all the security I need, I got all the provision I need all in this box, and you can have it too. Is Jesus enough for you today, though? Dom, what are you trying to say? Literally, I'm gonna ask it again. I need you guys to take this away, because every day I need you to wake up and ask this to yourself. Is Jesus enough for you today? Because when we fail to let Jesus be enough for you today, you reflect that to other people. You know that, right? When you fail to let Jesus be enough for you today, you reflect that to other people. Wow, he says he's a Christian. Man, he's coping with that alcohol every day. Wow, she says she's a Christian, but she's looking for love in a lot of different places. He says he's a Christian, but he's always worrying about the future. His God must really not be that big. She says she's a Christian, but when that manager mentioned that insecurity, she ripped him apart real quick. Are we trying to find love, provision, security from something else? Because the Israelites, they grumbled, they complained, they were looking for something else to deliver them or their comfort zone, and they said, hey, we'll go back to Egypt in slavery than rather be out here and be under God's provision. And you know what? That's what we do. I get a lot of, Dom, I'm a worrier. That's just how I am. Dominic, whenever I, you know, like whenever I feel insecure, I just gossip. And we start to make excuses. But you know what? And I do this too, church. I'm not walking away from this saying, no, I'm right there with you. You know what you're doing when you do that? You're picking up your own lunchbox, with the political division, with the uncertainty, with the fear, with the cancer, with the loss of a child, with the broken relationships, with the hurt past, and you're taking this into your day. Pick it right off, and you're like, all right, I'm gonna go into the day. It's not what's good for me, but it feels good, it tastes good, and this is just what I'm used to. I'm used to all of it. And you take it into the day, and as you're going throughout the day, as you're feeding off of it, it starts to really bring you down. You start to crash, and you start to be like, this is starting to get heavy. And then, you know, as you go to the ground, you can't get back up. And you're trying and trying to lift up that lunchbox, but it's too heavy. You're trying to do it by yourself. And you're basically telling God, and Dominic is basically telling God that, yeah, you know what? I don't really trust that you're going to provide, that you're going to love me, that you're with me. I don't really trust that you're going to fight my battles. But you know what, church? You know what, Dominic Rafa? Jesus is enough for the hard things. You know, all this in here, we try to hold on to, and you know what? It takes two hands because it's so heavy, and all you have to do is just throw it up here. You can't carry both. It's one or the other. Jesus is enough for those hard things. Because I believe that if you want to see that God is real, then you reflect him. If you want to see that God's real, you reflect him. And I'm going to say this very slowly. You have to walk in obedience and live like he is enough to experience how much he is. You have to walk in obedience and you have to live like he's enough to experience how much he is. Because when you start to take this lunchbox, you're going to experience God in a completely different way. You're going to experience God in a completely different way than someone living in comfort, than someone living in coping mechanisms, than someone that's always trying to find an excuse, because you have to choose to pick up God's life box and what he made for you in those times. And you're going to see him come through every time, I guarantee it. Here's a situation. All right, God, you're calling me to give this money right now. And like, I mean, this is a lot of security for me. You're calling me to give this money right now. And I was hoping that I could just put a little bit more in savings, but I heard that there's this family in need. God, I'm going to trust that you're going to provide whatever that looks like. I'm going to put this down. I'm going to pick this up because you're going to provide. And I'm going to give that money. God, My husband sits in front of the TV all day, and he's yelling at the TV, and he never picks up his laundry. And you know what? I just want another sense of adventure. I don't really feel like this is love. It's hard. But God, you continually love me with that agape love, and you give me love every day, and I'm going to continue to love my husband, whatever that looks like. We reflect to people that we believe that God is enough for us. And if God is enough for us in these hard times, in that broken relationship, in that hurt past, in that loss of a child, in whatever it is, whatever you're holding on to, if he's enough for us in those hard times, he's enough for them. And we have to show people, church, we have to show people that Jesus is enough through those trials. We have to live in it, and we have to live like it. Because you know, the Israelites had nighttime coming, and they're like, man, is God going to provide manna the next day? But you know what? I believe that God's going to provide manna the next day. I believe that God's going to come through every time, because God says he is. God is the almighty creator, the sustainer, the redeemer, the lover, the father, the brother, the friend, the all-powerful. He's providing for us. And we're like, God's not going to provide. I'm just going to take this one. Before I break into this application, Loki, I just want to pray. And I need you guys to have what you're holding right now. I want you to have it on your hearts and on your minds. I want you to start carrying your lunchbox real quick. Okay, carry your lunchbox right now, whatever that is, your life box. Let's go ahead and pray real quick. Father, guide the rest of this time. Holy Spirit, speak to what we need to hear. We're holding on to some things right now. We're tired. We're worn out. And God, I just pray that we have the courage, and give us the courage to place it down. Guide us through the rest of this application time. In Christ's name, amen. You have that lunchbox, I need you to place it down right now. Place it down. Do you trust that God is going to pull through? Because people will notice and say that if Jesus was enough for you, then Jesus is enough for them. And don't think you're putting God on the spot when you say that he's going to come through, whatever that looks like, because he will come through, because he's bigger and he is enough. So which lunchbox are you choosing today, church? Which lunchbox? Do you believe that Jesus is enough for today? Do you believe that he's fighting your battles? Do you believe that he's loving? Do you believe that he's providing? Do you believe that he's with you today? Because I want us to really imagine a church and what that would look like if Jesus was enough for them today. Imagine the courage we would have in trials. Imagine the love we would have for other people. So I'm going to ask again, do you believe that he's loving you today? Fighting your battles today, providing for you today, and with you today? Or are you looking for love? Are you worrying about providing? Are you fighting your battles? Are you wearing yourself out? Guys, we don't have to worry about it. Again, what was that struggle? What was that struggle you're feeling right now? What are you carrying into the day that's been wearing you down? What is it? Is it the finances? Is it the family? Is it the materials? Is it the food? Is it the health? The fear? The anxiety, the future, name it. But don't take it into your own hands. We get to rest in him. Put it down. Do you trust God with it? And pick up the Jesus lunchbox. Because he wants you to. He made it for you. And we don't deserve it. That's the crazy part. We don't deserve it, but he made it for you. All you have to do is stand firm and trust. And are you willing to trust Jesus with that box today? So you might not have tapped into it, and you might be fighting some battles you see no end to. You might be worrying about that certain health problem or whatever it is in that box. But I'm going to ask again, Dom, you're repeating yourself a lot. I need you, church, to understand this, because we have to repeat it to ourselves all the time in every situation. You might have to choose to pick up this lunchbox 60 times a day. But you have to get it in your head. Which lunchbox, which life box am I choosing? Am I choosing this terrible one that's not good for me, or Jesus, who wants what's best and knows what's best for us? And again, maybe you might not have even understood that Jesus was providing all this. Might not have even heard of Jesus. And you can. know him today and experience the provision that he gives. All you have to do is believe that Jesus came and lived a perfect life, died and rose from the dead, all to have a relationship with you. Again, we're talking about the God that we say woe to. And he wants to provide this for us today. And you can come to a place where you're saying, I don't want what I want anymore. You know where this got Dominic? This got him in complete sin a year ago with the most stress and anxiety he's ever felt in his entire life, a year ago. And ever since I said, God, I don't want this, I want you. Again, I have my problems. I definitely still pick this bad boy up. This has been the most satisfying, fulfilling choice that I've made. As he wants to provide for you. He wants to fight for you. He wants to be with you, and he wants to love on you. So church, don't answer this one. This is personal. Is Jesus enough for you today? Are you living like it? Again, don't waste your time. We're not guaranteed a tomorrow. We're guaranteed a forever. If you would like to know Jesus today, I would love to talk with you after. Someone on our staff, we would love to talk with you and lead you through that and how you can get all this today. You get Jesus Christ today. And if you're a believer and you've known Christ for a while and you know he's doing all this stuff, then stop picking up this stupid lunchbox. Curious George is not cool. We get Star Wars. We get Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I just pray that we're able to identify and name what we're taking into the day, something that's holding us down, that's a burden to us. And the fact that you made us a life box, a lunch box, that you're just going to give us, all because of your son's sacrifice. Father, I can't understand it, and I can't wrap my head around it. I don't know what to do with it except just to fall more in love with you. And I pray that we fall in love with you as a congregation, as a church body, and as a community. That we just see you in a deeper way. And I pray that we have the courage and the strength. Give us that courage and strength to trust you with whatever we're struggling with and pick up the lunchbox you made. Thank you for your son and his sacrifice. Thank you for the love you've given us. And in Christ's name, amen.